We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Good Sunday morning, everybody. Welcome on in. It is Tobin's Fight Show here on 790 The Ticket. Thank you for tuning in. Next hour, we will dive all over the world of mixed martial arts and boxing. Got a little local bare-knuckle fighting news to get to. And we will talk to Aaron Aponte, who is a professional boxer out of Hialeah Gardens. Aaron is the Alien King. We've had him on once before, actually, when he was an amateur gunning for the Olympics. But the pandemic kind of switched things up. So you'll hear our conversation with Aaron as we go over what his journey has been like over the last couple of years, where he's gone from Olympic hopeful to a pandemic ruining those dreams to where he's at right now, which is getting ready to fight at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino on the Demetrius Andrade card in a couple of weeks. So we'll talk to Aaron. It's going to be a fun conversation. You guys will really, really enjoy it. I'm certain of that. We'll start off with UFC action. You had UFC on ABC this past weekend. Marvin Vettori taking on Kevin Holland. And early card, so if you guys were looking to get some MMA action in the afternoon, it was a busy day. You had a little Marlins action, watching Jazz Chisholm kick Jacob deGrom's ass. And then you got to watch other guys in an octagon kick each other's ass. So out of the two TV setup, I kind of put the Panthers away. It was 3-0 right away. My boy Bob got lit up. You know, it's all right. We move on to the next one. But for the UFC card, fun card. You know, it was not the most name-worthy fight card in the world, but it was still very, very solid. And a lot of good young talent, I think, to watch, you know. And Marvin Vettori had a late replacement. This was supposed to be Darren Till taking on Marvin Vettori, but it ended up being Kevin Holland, who's taking the 3-week turnaround. We'll get into that one just a little bit. We'll start off with the top of the main card. You had Daniel Rodriguez taking on Mike Perry, who trains at MMA Masters now, has been living in South Florida for a little bit. And so Mike Perry was excited to see what he had under the tutelage down here at MMA Masters. And then Daniel Rodriguez doing his training with Donald Cerrone in the BMF Ranch. And Rodriguez really got the best of him. Mike Perry was really pieced up throughout this entire thing. Tough as hell because, I mean, he was getting his eyes shut up. It was, you know, a really bloody affair on his face, but Daniel Rodriguez just really continued to pepper him right down the pipe really quickly and just felt like he was getting off first on all of his stuff. So, you know, he rightfully won the unanimous decision, pretty lopsided. And for Mike, he has now lost, you know, 4 out of his last 5 since 2019. His record is 2-4. He said afterwards on Instagram that he's got a fight left on his UFC deal. I don't think this spells the end for Mike Perry. You know, first of all, he's super durable. It's not like he's going out there and he's getting obliterated from, you know, the standpoint of getting put away. You know, he's only been, I think, knocked out once in his career. But he's never been the most technical guy in the world. So, you just don't know what the guy's ceiling is other than, hey, Mike Perry's on. I know when Mike Perry is on that I'm interested in watching him fight. I'm interested in seeing what a wild card he is, you know, from a guy who has his woman in the corner, has his pregnant, you know, wife in the corner, is just, he's a bit of a wild card. Never know what he's going to say. He's just very interesting. And I don't know if the UFC is going to let that walk, whether he wins or loses his next one. It's tough to say because I do think that a guy that has his kind of attention is going to get scooped up very, very quickly. You know, but maybe they do get to the point where they just don't feel like he is a UFC caliber fighter. I don't know. He's been through some rough patches in his career for a while. You know, we're talking basically since he beat Alex Reyes and was 11-1. Ever since he took on Santiago Ponzinibbio, he's lost a lot more than he's won. You know, he is 3-8 since that time. So 3-6, excuse me. 3-7. Got that one down now. This happens when you try and eyeball it. But either way, you know, he... I think could continue to get better if he is trained down here and he does feel like at a place like MMA Masters, which has some really, really great fighters, especially at his weight class. You think of guys like Miguel Baeza, Colby Covington, you know, the kind of work that he could get there would be pretty tremendous. But I'm sure he has a lot of questions. I'm sure he has a lot of soul searching to do, especially if he can't come up victorious in this next fight. As far as Daniel Rodriguez, you know, really looked fantastic in this one. Looked crisp, you know, seemed like he was just getting the best of him the entire time. He was really, you know, speaking to that level of having the full camp and having that full level of preparation for this one. So a really good performance by him, and getting a win over a guy like Mike Perry is going to get you noticed. So good for him. Mackenzie Dern, she got herself a win over Nina Ansaroff out of American Top Team, which was tough to see locally. But Mackenzie, look, she has been on an absolute tear, really, since she's become a mom. Like, it's crazy. This was a woman who had a little bit of, you know, the thoughts of, you know, was she, you know, capable of this? You know, was missing weight a ton? You know, what was going to be the level? And she has now locked in, you know, 3 out of 4 performances of the night. She is only, what, 26 years old? Just turned 26 years old. She's a fresh 26. So she really looks like she is blossoming into the type of mixed martial arts prospect everybody thought that she could be. No longer are the weight things an issue. No longer are, you know, do you wonder about, you know, does she have the game plan to get through somebody who's a little bit more well-rounded? She's been steamrolling. She looks, it's a lot like, it kind of reminds you almost like a strawweight version of like Francis Ngannou. Like, that's the type of run she's been on. She's taken out everybody first round after first round after first round since her last loss, basically. She has, you know, one decision in there, but she's been steamrolling. And Nina's no punk. Nina trains at maybe the best women's mixed martial arts gym there is. I mean, first of all, it's one of the best gyms on the planet, but just as far as the crop of women that train there, it doesn't get a lot better than American Top Team. So Mackenzie getting a win like that, very, very impressive on her part. Julian Marquez, Sam Alvey, really good fight between these two. Vicious way that it ended for Julian, who I believe was last seen when he was calling out Taylor Swift. And was it Miley Cyrus? It was Miley Cyrus, excuse me. He was calling out, he was asking Miley Cyrus out, and he got himself a win over Sam Alvey here, where he put him down and then actually went for the choke and put Sam Alvey out. Sam Alvey did not tap. He went to sleep. And a huge performance from the Kansas City native to get himself a beautiful bonus for fight of the night. So back-to-back bonus nights for Julian Marquez. A great performance by him. A lot of people were excited about the co-main event, as you had Arnold Allen against Sadiq Youssef. And it was, and I don't think it really lived up to the billing. People really thought this was going to be a huge firefight. I thought Arnold Allen clearly won the first round, you know, was giving Sadiq the business, more of that in the second. And then Sadiq really tried to push him up against the cage in round three, trying to find another way. Didn't really live up to what I think everybody thought was going to be the bar none fight of the night. It actually turned out that the fight that preceded that was actually the case. And then the same goes for the main event. You had Marvin Vettori with a win over Kevin Holland. Dominant 50-44 on all judges' scorecards for this one. And Marvin ends up calling out Israel Adesanya. A couple of things out of this one. One, look, Kevin Holland looks super dangerous on the feet. He really did. Looked like he hurt Marvin a couple of times, but these were just such short windows of being able to stay on his feet, because Marvin knew that he could take him down basically at will. He set a middleweight record for takedowns in the bout. And, you know, I don't know if this is the most memorable win, but it was a lopsided win. Like, it, you know, you had Kevin was really bothered by an elbow that he took to the eye early on in the fight. And he was always going for stuff. It wasn't like one of these things where he was laying on top of Kevin Holland. You know, Kevin was, first of all, made a much better effort in this fight than he did in the Derek Brunson fight to try and get off his back. He wasn't just content laying there. So from that standpoint, you like the fight a little bit more from Kevin Holland. It's tough for him. You know, he's coming off that 5-0 year, you know, a record tying year in the UFC. And now he starts off this year with 2 losses in 3 weeks. I would hope that for a guy who is, I think, as marketable as Kevin Holland, who's as likable as Kevin Holland, that they can go and, you know, maybe get him a matchup against somebody who will stand and trade with him a little bit and, you know, doesn't throw him to the wolves with somebody who is got this path to victory. Although, in fairness, look, he took this fight on short notice, so I can't really blame the UFC for the matchmaking on this one. He stepped up and wanted to do it. And that's the kind of that's also what you like about him. But, you know, you don't want him to go from a 5-0 streak to you know, 0-3 or something like that and get the record in that type of way. As far as Marvin afterwards called out Israel Adesanya for a middleweight title shot. And looking at it, you know, he's got a loss to Izzy in the past. It's a split decision, very close fight. He was supposed to fight Darren Till for this fight, so it was supposed to be a top five victory, not a victory over a guy who's ranked way below him, and he blew him out. So I think he should get a lot of credit for that. It wasn't like it was a close fight. It wasn't like Kevin Holland was in it very much at all. And then you start looking at the guys who has a claim to this title shot. All right, Marvin's been on a good roll. Derek Brunson has been on a good roll. Derek Brunson got stopped by Israel Adesanya pretty badly. Jared Cannonier, he lost to Robert Whittaker, also had his arm broke. I don't know what his health status is. Paulo Costa, kind of up in the air right now with where he's at. Robert Whittaker is going to be taking on Kelvin Gastelum. So the one guy is going to take on the 8 guy. But, you know, Kelvin is a guy that, you know, really took Izzy to the limit. I think of this. Look, if Robert wins the next fight, I don't know. I thought off his last win, I thought that Robert deserved to get in there and get another crack at Izzy to go get a stop. He was a good middleweight champion. He's the number one guy right now. So I felt like off his last fight, he deserved to go fight for the belt. For whatever reason, the UFC was like, oh, he's not that into it or whatever. I don't know if that was just a way to get away from it so they could give Izzy this crack at the 205 belt. I don't know. But I do think that Robert's going to have a chance this upcoming week that if he goes and beats Kelvin, he's no questions asked as the guy who deserves to go fight Israel Adesanya. And Izzy's not going to have any pipe dreams of going to fight at 205. It's still a big fight that they could make over in Australia, which seemingly has most of its COVID bleep together. I feel like they could go do crowds there. I feel like we've seen videos of New Zealand and everybody over there doing the damn thing. So the only thing that would be a pain in the ass about it would be for, I guess, the UFC to physically go over there and make the event happen because of all the staff they got to bring over there that has to quarantine for 2 weeks. I don't know when that's going to get lifted. I don't know when when their plans of the world are changing. But that being said, it is still a place. They're very big into doing these full fan shows and all that type of stuff. That's a place they could go do it. So we'll still see what happens because I do think that if Kelvin gets the win, look, you're still in rematch city. Izzy's really built himself up a really nice resume. Right now, I think that's one of the things that's probably disappointing about Darren not getting a chance to do this fight because of the collarbone injury, because it was a fresh matchup. We know that those guys would have an awesome, awesome buildup. But, you know, he's beaten Paulo, he's beaten Robert, he's beaten Kelvin, he's beaten Derek Brunson. He's beaten Marvin Vettori. Like, it's a very, at middleweight, he's building himself up a very Kamaru-like resume. You know, he just lost to Jan. He went the distance with a guy at 205. So Izzy's going to have his pick of the litter, I do think. But I really believe that Robert deserves it the most if he's able to go out there and get this nice win over Kelvin Gastelum. And I think it over Derek Brunson just because he's the champ, if you're going to go tie on that one. He's beaten Derek Brunson before, too. So there's a head-to-head kind of elimination there. If Robert ends up losing to Kelvin Gastelum, could Marvin sneak in there? Yeah, I think it's possible. I think he's definitely a guy who will, you know, make it personal, talk a lot of bleep. I think that could lead to some fun stuff. I don't think a lot of people remember on Izzy's Rise Up the Marvin Vettori fight. So I think that it's one of those things where, like, it'll be a talking point, but I don't think it was long enough to go where it's going to deter people from buying it. So there's that benefit to it as well. And that's a look, man. That was that's what went down last night in UFC and all that type of stuff. So when we come back, we'll tell you a little bit about some other news that's going on, news and notes in the world of mixed martial arts. Give you a little recap of Bellator that went on as well. We have a huge piece of news as far as the bare knuckle fight world is concerned. We got Jake Paul, Ben Askren, that's coming up next week. A whole lot of stuff to get to. Plus, we will talk to Aaron Aponte, the Alien King, before the end of today's program as well. We'll be back with more after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin's Fight Show here on 790 The Ticket. We continue on this program. Bit of show news that's exciting. Got confirmation this week. I got my credential for Jacksonville. So your boy is heading up to Duval County. We will have coverage of UFC 261. Very excited about that. Getting a chance to bring you guys some of the coverage of UFC 261. Jorge Masvidal versus Kamaru Usman. Saw some of the media that that Masvidal did this week, did a long sit down with Ariel Helwani, and you know, a couple things. I got to give credit to both guys on this. First, I got to give credit to Kamaru for calling out Jorge the way that he did, because I think it's set up for a really what really happened in the last time. We really got screwed, I think, out of a really good fight promotion from these two, because they had the radio.com ruckus, the radio.com. We're not radio.com anymore. We're Audacy. Go check us out on the Audacy app, by the way. Audacy. The Radio Row ruckus that went down. And they did such a damn good job, you know, just hyping it up. We talked to Masvidal the day before it happened. We talked to Usman minutes after it happened. And, you know, we could just take, like, this is the fight that has to be made. And it just got cheaped out. Similar to what the UFC's doing right now with Jon Jones and Francis Ngannou, where, you know, they're in a world right now where they're just coming out of a pandemic and they don't want to hear a guy like Jon Jones and all the chances that he's given call for more money in the Francis Ngannou fight. But it is a super fight, and I do feel like it's the biggest fight they made, and I feel like Jon deserves a lot of money for that fight. Francis does too. But it feels like this time around we're going to get the buildup that we were kind of cheated of the last time because of it being a short notice fight. And believe it or not, or buy into it or not, the short turnaround, the massive weight cut for George, you know, is an easy talking point to get people into saying, nah, last fight doesn't matter. It's not like he got finished. It's not like he got obliterated. I gave Kamaru a ton of credit for getting the win. I know a lot of people call him a foot stomper and all that type of stuff, but that's his game. Like, he's going to get to it. And if you are a guy like him and you're going to get into a cage with Jorge Masvidal, a vicious striker who looks like he was just getting better and better and was obliterating fools worse and worse every time that he got in there, yeah, I'd probably go the route of holding him up against the cage too, if it all meant me getting to keep my belt. But he's doing the right thing and saying, like, it's not going to be the same this time. He's got the new striking coach and Trevor Whitman. You know, people are like, oh, you know, is he a better striker? Look, I don't think it's a smart thing to go in there and strike with Jorge Masvidal. I feel like that could be a one-way ticket to being a guy staring up at the lights. But I have to give Usman credit for calling out George the way that he did, because I feel like it really did. It's not like he no-sold him. Like, he wanted to fight Jorge Masvidal. And the champ does not call out the challenger very often. And then you kind of just allow Masvidal to take it and run from there, because he has turned into, you know, one of the best interviews in the game, a guy that people really enjoy having on programs, a guy that is good on social media, all that type of stuff. And so I think it's going to lead to the fight being still big, even though we just had the fight between both of them. I still feel like it could be a really big million buy plus pay-per-view. And obviously you saw that the sales in Jacksonville went, you know, crazy fast, and people are really digging it. And I cannot wait. So I'm looking forward to checking that out. Speaking of which, locally, I should go to this. So, big news this week with Bare Knuckle FC. They are going to be having a fight come May 21st, and it's going to be at Hard Rock Stadium. And it's going to have Yuli the Monster Diaz, friend of the program, against Thiago Pitbull Alves for their 175-pound championship. So they're making a new championship, and a couple of South Florida guys are going to get into their squared circle and knuckle up for a belt. And that's really cool because that was the last fight that Yuli had. And the last time that we talked to David Velvet, it didn't feel like that was going to be next for Yuli. It felt like they were going to come up with something to lead to that. But he did say that Yuli was for sure going to be on their next South Florida card. Now it turns out that that's going to be at Hard Rock Stadium. So that's really cool. I'm looking forward to that. I don't know what that looks like as far as capacity is concerned. You know, I'm going to guess something like 15,000. But look, Yuli can sell. He can sell some venues in this place. I don't know about Hard Rock Stadium. Hard Rock Stadium's a different beast, but if you do it the right way and you promote those guys the right way down here, I do feel like you can get a lot of people to go to that building, to go check out what it's like, because it was fun for the Canelo Alvarez fight. It was a fun venue. They had we had a really, really good time. To go check that out, and I'm looking forward to it. I think it's great for Yuli. Yuli's a great story, man, as far as, you know, where he's come from, the age that he's at, and getting a moment like that where he gets the 3-second knockout. And you know, I hope that this turns out to be huge for him, because we got a bunch of fights surround South Florida guys down here. I feel like what they got to do is, I haven't spun this in, but you guys know I'm an ideas man. But what they got to do, 3-second knockout for him. Obviously, Masvidal famous for the 5-second knockout. You get a couple of Miami guys. You got to do something with a marketing poster that's like 3 seconds with a fist for like the O, and then the 5 for the Masvidal knockout. They got to have some kind of poster like that. They got the same management team. Put those T-shirts together. You know, make that a thing. They'll sell like hotcakes, I tell you. So, we'll definitely be covering that. We'll definitely be keeping you posted on Bare Knuckle FC coming down to South Florida and seeing what they got to offer there, because it sounds like an awesome one. And really, really glad that locally we're going to get that event down here and that it's going to be surrounding a couple of local guys. So really, really cool. Coming up next week, we have UFC on ESPN, Robert Whittaker versus Kelvin Gastelum. Mentioned this a little bit last segment, and it's a really good fight between both of these guys. Robert's an interesting case because he could really put himself in I think, the prime spot to win the title. I think Kelvin can too. You know, Kelvin probably needs a little bit more because he's you know, doesn't have the cleanest record over his recent fights, but he's also been taking on the likes of Jack Hermanson, Darren Till, Israel Adesanya. It's a tough route. That's a tough strength of schedule for Kelvin Gastelum. So getting a win over the number one guy certainly, I think, would put him in the argument. Could be something like this. Like, if he gets that win, maybe he goes and fights Marvin Vettori, and then the winner of that takes on Israel Adesanya. We'll see. But I think that it goes, Whittaker gets it, he's in. If Kelvin gets the win, probably needs one more to be in to get the absolute golden ticket to the title shot. That's the way I would probably see it playing out. A couple other things. So you had the Bellator 256. You had their fight going on between Ryan Bader and Lyoto Machida. Ryan Bader did business there. He had a lopsided win over Lyoto Machida. He advances in the Bellator Light Heavyweight Grand Prix as the standing as he looks to reclaim his belt, the former double champ of Bellator. So good for Ryan Bader. Liz Carmouche got a win over Vanessa Porto. Kat Zingano, she had a submission arm bar win over Olivia Parker. Adam Borks beat Jeremy Kennedy. So that's a look at what went down at Bellator on Friday night. Also had some news, Aljamain Sterling. He said that he is going to be out for a few months because of a neck procedure. Says that he's going to heal in 3 months. So, you know, that's not too bad. I mean, you know, I saw that Piotr Jan was asking for him to be stripped. 3 months, you know, 6 months for a champion to be out. And I know what the circumstances of Aljamain Sterling being the champion are, but it's not that much. You know, we're talking about Aljamain Sterling being able to fight by November. I mean, that's totally fine for him and Jan, and let Jan talk all the trash that his manager is talking for him on Twitter and say that he has to be stripped and all that. So I think that's great. If he wants to fight in the meanwhile, I mean, it's not like he can't. He could go fight a Corey Sandhagen. It's not like anyone's going to stop Jan if he feels like he absolutely has to get some kind of action in. But, you know, an injury is an injury. What are you going to do? I don't feel like it's worthy of Aljamain Sterling getting stripped of a belt that he, you know, definitely got handed because of but it's Petr Yan's fault that it's there in the first place. Like, it's hard for me to give any sympathy to Petr Yan asking, ooh, where's my title shot? You shouldn't need him in the head. I don't know what to tell you, man. Speaking of which, Mighty Mouse this past week losing on 1FC. He lost to what was Buddy's name who trains down here? He lost to Adriano Marias, who trains down here at American Top Team, and ended up blistering him with a vicious, vicious KO. And Eddie Alvarez got DQ'd in his fight. I didn't really understand what the hell went there, but there's some weird stuff. You can't hit on the side of the head, but you can knee a downed opponent. The one's got some weird rules, man. I caught the highlights of that. I didn't even know that it was going on a Wednesday night, to be honest with you. But some weird stuff happening there. We also have coming up next week, we have Jake Paul versus Ben Askren, which I'm sure is going to get a ton of coverage. Shout out to our guy, by the way, Peter Kahn. I'm sure he's got a busy week coming up promoting that for Triller Fight Club. But yeah, that's gonna be an interesting one. I'm gonna watch. I definitely listen. I've had Jake Paul on the show, on the morning show. We had Jake Paul on. I think I ran some of that back for you guys on this show, and I'm interested to see what's gonna happen. I am. I'm interested. I'm intrigued. I go back and forth with what I'm going to pick for this officially, because I know that Jake has been training with some guys down here and he's been training hard. And I know that Ben Askren is not good at boxing. I still feel silly taking a YouTuber over him. So I'm going to go with Ben Askren to win the fight just cause, but I can tell you, I've never been less invested in a pick nor really cared what the results are. I really kind of hope that Jake Paul wins to a degree, because I want to see where does this go to where Jake Paul bites off more than he can chew. And it's not like I'm rooting for Jake Paul to lose. I'm not a huge Ben Askren fan. Let's start there. I'm not like this guy who's like, oh, you know, Ben's got to do it for mixed martial arts. I don't care. It's not like I said this past week to Leroy. I'm like, if this was like in basketball, you know, where you can go and pick the guy who shoots the free throw for you because somebody gets hurt. If the boxing realm could pick a mixed martial artist, they would want to have fight a guy in boxing. The guy they would pick is Ben Askren, because he is the worst striker anybody's ever seen. So they got their guy. They got the right guy for this job. But I'm leaning on the competition that Ben has faced, the training he's been around, and I'm going to go with him to win. But I feel not great about it. Not great about it. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, Aaron Aponte, he is the Alien King. He fights out of Hialeah, Florida, and he is our next guest coming up here on the program as he is getting set to fight on the Demetrius Andrade card at the Guitar Hotel, Hollywood Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. He is getting set to fight on April 17th, that same weekend. So we will get to talk to Aaron about what his journey has been like as a professional boxer. The last time we talked to him, he was shooting for the Olympics. COVID ruined that, so now he's getting paid to fight. We'll talk to him next. Very excited to talk to our next guest, one of South Florida's own, out of Hialeah, Florida, the Alien King, Aaron Aponte, joining us here on the program. Aaron, it's good to talk to you again, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Great to be here. You know, I'm excited to talk to you and, you know, talk about my upcoming events.
Yeah, we'll get to your upcoming events in just a bit, and was at your last fight as well. But you know, the last time we spoke, it was a couple of years ago, maybe a little over a year ago actually, and you were talking about, you know, you had Olympic dreams, you were thinking about going to Tokyo. The whole world flipped on its head just months later, and everything changed. So, can you take me through all that, man? Like, you went through a situation where you were dreaming about going to the Olympics. You had the banner up in your gym. You have a goal in mind, and then life throws a curveball. Was there, you know, how did you take all that? When did you decide, hey, I got to divert the road and become a pro?
It was tough because, you know, it's a dream we've been working for a very long time, you know, since I was 9 years old. And, you know, it's always been a dream to go to the Olympics. And when COVID came and, you know, made all that stuff happen, and, you know, we all got, you know, we had to wait an extra two years. Me and my team decided it would be better if we turn professional and, you know, further our career than to just sit down and wait for something to happen.
Was that a hard decision for you? Like, did you think about maybe waiting it out and doing, you know, elongating your amateur career at all and seeing when the next games would open up? Like, was it tough for you to go away from that? Or did you find to say, okay, I'm ready to hop into the new challenge?
Honestly, I was just ready to turn professional. You know, I at the time I was already getting tired of being in the amateurs and, you know, traveling and not getting paid. And, you know, once you're at the top level, you're fighting the top guys all the time. So you might as well get paid for it. If we're fighting we're literally having the best competition between us, might as well get paid for it. So, you know, it wasn't too much of a tough decision.
So then you decide to go pro. You're about to embark on your third career professional fight. How did you and your family, because I know you guys are very tight-knit, how did you go about the journey of turning professional? What was that process like?
At first, it was tough just trying to find a fight, you know, to find an event because everything was closed at the time. But finally, in October, I think we turned professional in July, like with all the paperwork. But my pro debut, I had it in October 16th on Telemundo. And it was a great event. I knocked him out in, I think it was 50 something seconds. So in the first round. So, you know, the whole process has been good for me so far. You know, we've been slowly climbing up, getting our name out there. And, you know, it's just been a great overall experience.
Well, your first fight locally after you got your first professional win, you had a really, really cool experience where you got to be on the Canelo Alvarez card, which was really cool because, you know, I am always telling people about the talent that is down here in South Florida. You are among that. And it's been nice to see one of the good things that has come out of this crazy pandemic year has been Miami has gotten a new spotlight for boxing. And so Canelo Alvarez decided to do his fight down here, and you were on the card, and that was that had to be unbelievably cool, like to walk out and be in Hard Rock Stadium. That place does, you know, they haven't hosted big fights, and you had the opportunity to be on that card, a hometown kid, your family's there. That had to blow your mind, man, because there are people down here who probably never thought growing up fighting, I'm going to have the experience to fight in my hometown on that kind of a stage, especially as early and as young as you are. That had to be unbelievably cool. Tell me about it.
Oh my God. That was a dream come true. Every time I've driven past the Dolphin Stadium and I looked at it, I used to always tell my mom, one day I'm going to fight in that stadium. And look at me, the second professional fight, and we're already achieving one of my dreams to fight in the Hard Rock Stadium. And it was just amazing to walk out and look around and hear everybody cheering my name. And it was like, it was out of this world, to be honest.
Yeah, I bet it was. It was kind of tough for me because I was in my buddy and I, my co-host, we went to the fights and they sat us in the press area. So we were like in the sealed off bubble. Like we weren't in the ringside. We were like local media night of. So they like stuck us in the press box. So it was, I could hear cheers for you, but it was a little bit muffled. Like, did it feel like how many people came to support you for that? Cause I was in a kind of a tough spot to gauge it, but I knew people, I could hear people cheering for you, but I don't think I got the fair scope of it based on where I was and because I was in a sealed off room inside.
Yeah, we sold at least around the 600 tickets. So just 600 people just came to see me.
That's cool.
And then all the extra fans that were there at the time were also cheering for me, you know, because I'm the local star and, you know, up and coming fighter. So they were cheering for me too. So, you know, could have been anywhere from 600 to 1,000 people cheering for me. So it was amazing. It was an amazing experience. I could hear them all.
That's awesome, man. So your next fight's coming up on April 17th. You're again fighting on DAZN, which is also a really cool thing for you. People are getting a chance to, you know, get some eyeballs on you. And that's an awesome thing with the streaming is that they show the full card. So, you know, we're getting a scope of young prospects like yourself. What went into the process of having this fight at the Hard Rock on the Demetrius Andrade card and getting going at the Hard Rock?
What do you mean? What went through the process?
Just like, you know, how did you guys land on this fight? Like, was it a bunch of talks? Like, were there different dates to talk about? Like, what, or did it seem like it made sense? Local fight again. You wanted to fight somewhere that's hometown. Like, how did you land on the date? Like, what went into it all?
Oh, I got you. Honestly, we didn't even think we're gonna fight in April. We thought we were gonna fight in June, and this day came out of nowhere. So it was like, hey, you're fighting April 17th. It was like, okay, that's a month away. And now we had to have like a speed camp. And, you know, we got ready. We're ready right now. I'm probably in the best shape of my life right now. Like, even better shape than the fight before. And, you know, it was just a crazy, like, hey, you're fighting here. And I was like, wow. And in the Hard Rock Casino too. And it was pretty cool to fight in another big card in Miami, or, you know, the Miami area. And, you know, it's just a blessing to, I really got to take my hat off to my manager, Peter Kahn.
Well, listen, he's a smart man, and there's a reason, you know, his name is sparking up in the game and even more than it already has been. You know, Peter's a savvy guy, and that's a smart thing to have you be fighting locally, but also be on a stage where you're going to get exposed to the world. I mean, that's a really cool thing. I don't think our fans allowed to come to this one, or is this one like where they got the bubble closed off? Like, are your fans locally, are they able to watch you live, or are they going to have watch parties on DAZN for it?
I don't think they're selling tickets. I think the hotel and the casino are giving complimentary tickets away to certain people.
So, like, yeah, I've seen those. Like, they're little VIP events that if you're there.
Like VIP event, yeah. I think it's going to be a VIP event.
That's cool. Well, listen, tell everybody down in Hialeah. Let's get it together. We get the big screen going. And they come and watch you and get it going. It's a hell of a card anyway. You got Andrade on the card as well. So it's not like people wouldn't have a fun fight night together watching you in action. That's pretty awesome.
Especially watching a hometown fighter.
It's all like, do you like the fact that you've been staying in your hometown for the last couple? Like, do you think that just makes things easier, more set? You kind of just get to go to the office. Okay. Is there part of you that wants to go and travel a little bit? Like, do you want to see part of the world? Because I talk to, you know, fighters when they're up and coming, Aaron, sometimes they got to go to different countries to go get fights. Yeah. They got to do, are you looking forward to some of that journey, or are you liking that you're going to get a chance to get three fights under your belt and you've gotten to do most of it just in your state and in your hometown?
Yeah, honestly, I love fighting in Miami. If we could fight in Miami every fight, I would do it. But, you know, I also want to fight in, you know, different countries. That would be cool, like Great Britain or Australia, or, you know, something like that. Or maybe even Vegas or New York, you know, in the Barclays Center and stuff like that. So, you know, I like fighting in Miami. I love fighting in Miami. Trust me, I don't mind. I could fight here all the time, but I could travel to other, you know, just to see all the other places and see how the fans are over there.
I think that's the fun of the job. Like, it's not just that you want boxing to take you to other places. I mean, that's only natural, and especially it's such a universal thing. Everybody loves it all around the world. Of course, you'd want to see other parts of the world, but it is still cool that it's an awesome story that you've been able to get these under your belt right in your town, man. Because you know,
at such an early stage in my career.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, it's also great in a way that I think probably the pandemic has led to a lot of fights being down here. So that has opened up the opportunity to have a hometown kid like you get to shine on such a big stage, because I don't know if DAZN would have thought, hey, let's do a ton of fights down in Miami. So that, in a way, it has worked out good for you and will get you, I think, a lot of shine, which, you know, a lot of people need to know the Alien King's name. I think it'll be very good for your future for sure, man. What, I guess, from your experience in these first few pro fights, or these first couple of pro fights, is there a profound difference to you between this and the amateur ranks? Like, no headgear, everything opened up to you going, is there a more desire for you to go to the knockout? Like, what have you noticed, I guess, in the change of style now that you have turned pro?
Yeah, you definitely want to, you feel the need to entertain the people, whereas in the amateurs, you don't really care what the people think, because there's barely anybody watching. You know, just your corner and some of the fighters that came to fight also are cheering on. So, you know, I feel like in the pros, you feel like a more obligation to entertain the people and look for the knockout. Whereas the amateurs, you would be boxing and, you know, be working on not getting hit at all. So I feel like in the pros, it's more you're standing, you're planting your feet to throw harder punches. And you also got to focus on defense, because there's no more headgear and the gloves are much lighter. You know, they're 2 ounces lighter than they were in the amateurs. So, you know, it's different, but it's not as different as you would think. You know, you still have to fight the way you fight, you know, your style, just planting your feet and looking for more power shots.
Was how much did you watch your last fight? Like, did you do a lot of reviewing of it? And then if so, like, what have you wanted to get better at since watching it? What did you think you really needed to sharpen up?
I definitely could work on the comeback. You know, I would hit him and then he would fall into the ropes and then I would kind of let him like recover. So I would have came back. So I would have, you know, when he fell on the ropes, attack more, you know, be more aggressive is my criticism for the last fight, being more aggressive. And cause I was more focusing on boxing. You know, the kid was good. You know, he had a decent record, 6-1. And, you know, I was staying too safe. I feel like I could have taken more chances and, you know, gone for the knockout.
That's also got to be such a tough thing, too, because when you're just upcoming in your career, you're doing like 4-round fights, and there's got to be that happy medium between, I want to get this guy out of here, but you also want to work on stuff, too. Like, there's, you know, you only get so many times to get in the ring a year. So is there a tough balance of that and you noticed in your first couple of fights of wanting to get experience, but also wanting to look damn good and intimidating and make a name for yourself? Like, is there a tough balance there?
Yeah. You kind of want to, like, it feels like you're trying to rush yourself into, you know, look for the knockout, be impressive, instead of just being yourself and boxing and just, you know, moving around, touch and not get hit, which is really the name of the game. Don't get hit and hit the other guy. You know, you want to hit him and not let him hit you as much as you can. And I feel like pro boxing, it's more focused on trying to get the knockout and being exciting, because that's what you really want. You want to excite the people. You want people to be interested in watching you fight. So you look for the knockout and you do flashy things so people are interested in watching you.
Is your gym there? You guys are pretty close-knit group down there at KO Fitness in Hialeah. What big things are coming up for you guys down there? Is there anybody else who's coming up in the near future that you're excited to see? Any of your teammates that are getting some work in that we should know about?
Yeah, definitely. You should definitely keep an eye out for Luis Melendez, Harold Calderon, and who else got a fight coming up? Those two have fights coming up. Harold Calderon and Luis Melendez. So keep an eye out for them. Both coming out of Miami.
Any words, man, for your town before we get you out of here? Your fight's coming up on April 17th. Demetrius Andre card on DAZN. You guys subscribe to DAZN. You guys can see Aaron Aponte as he is looking to go to 3-0 in his professional career. You got any final words for the 305, 954, 561, the whole crew down here in South Florida?
Yeah, definitely. First of all, I just want to thank my team and my manager for making all this happen. And let's go Heat.
Yes. Yes.
Let's go Heat for sure. What else? You know, if you're from Miami and you love Miami, I'm all about Miami. You know, I'm bringing Miami on my back to the top of the world. You know, I'm going to be world champion one day, and the Miami's going to be in the name.
Yeah, your boy Duncan Robinson's heating up. He's getting it going now, yeah. Huh? He's got the stroke, yeah. Right. All these trade rumors are behind him. Now he's got it going. I'm happy to see that.
Yeah, I was so glad they didn't trade him. I really didn't want them to trade him.
How's his hands? I know he's been in the gym a couple of times. Has dunks on the bag, in the ring.
He's pretty nice. Don't lie, he's pretty nice.
Yeah?
But out of all of them who came to the gym, James Johnson was the nicest.
They say JJ's got that martial arts background.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got that.
He's nicest with the hands.
That's awesome, man. Well, listen, good luck to you. It's great to see you get this opportunity to fight in your town, to see you on a platform like DAZN. Really, really cool watching the journey, and we'll definitely be continuing to do that throughout your career, man. So congratulations on the early success, and we can't wait for April 17th.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Aaron for joining the program. Check him out next week on DAZN. You guys can see one of South Florida's own. As he continues his boxing career, really, really excited to see what he's got on the table. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. Obviously, we'll recap Aaron's fight coming up next week. We got a lot of stuff to recap coming up next week between UFC, the DAZN card that's going on down here. Plus, we got ourselves the Jake Paul Ben Askren card. Tons of stuff that's going to be happening. It's tons of stuff to recap. So hope you'll tune it in here. You missed any of the show, download the Audacy app today, AUDACY, and subscribe to Tobin's Fight Show there. You can get the podcast and all of our episodes and interviews that we got there. It's all there for you. We'll talk to you next time.